You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. So you have heard by now that 15-time major championship champion, one car accident in Palos Verdes for Tiger Woods. It was a rollover accident, and the car was absolutely smashed down in what looks like a ravine. In fact, I'm looking at an image right now on ESPN. It's incredible that he survived this. His agent, Mark Steinberg, has released a statement, and Tiger Woods has suffered multiple leg injuries. He is in surgery right now, and Mark Steinberg, his agent, says, "We thank you for your privacy and your support." And so this comes at a time when we had just seen Tiger. Tiger had back surgery, his fifth back surgery, back in December. And he made an appearance on the CBS broadcast of the LA Open at Riviera this past Sunday and spoke with Jim Nantz. And Tiger expressed at that time that he was unsure if he was going to play in the Masters or not this year. So this is a stunning story. The accident took place at 7:12 a.m. this morning in Palos Verdes, near the Rolling Hills Estate. And I think John is on the line right now. John?
Mace, I know right where this is. This is where Terranea is. This is where my son rides horses. There are a series of winding roads over the cliffs of the Pacific Ocean. And if you are going too fast, it is very easy to lose control of a vehicle there. And when I saw the pictures of the vehicle, I've worried about that exact dilemma with other people that I've seen going too fast around those corners. The good news is Mark Steinberg, his agent, has issued the statement that says he's in surgery now, which means that they use the jaws of life to get him out.
Yeah.
But which means I'm speculating here, but Mark never does anything. Nobody ever does anything without Tiger's permission.
Yep.
So my thought is that Tiger allowed him to issue that statement, which is what I'm selfishly hoping.
Yes.
That Tiger was conscious enough for Steinberg to go into the room and say, hey, the LA County Sheriffs have issued a statement. I'm going to issue a statement on your behalf. That's what I'm praying for. That he's conscious, maybe not be conscious because he's having surgery
leg injuries,
but that at some point he was conscious enough to make the decision to tell Steinberg to issue this statement. Now, I'm totally speculating, but that's as a giant Tiger fan, that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and it feels like, and we actually talked about Tiger Woods yesterday near the end of our show because he had been on the broadcast for CBS on Sunday and had talked about his recovery from back surgery. That was his fifth back surgery that he underwent in December. And he's had multiple injuries now that he's been working to come back from. It felt like potentially he was moving towards returning to the tour, although he was questionable about the Masters when asked directly by Jim Nantz. But again, if you're just tuning in, Tiger Woods involved in a one-car accident at 7:12 a.m.
Now, Mace, I mentioned that I'm over there all the time because my son rides horses there. George Sedano actually lives near there, and George is on the phone right now. And George, I don't know if you heard my explanation with Mace, but I'm sure you, like me, have driven those winding roads in Rancho Palos Verdes. And as I was telling Mace, it's very easy if you go too fast to lose control of a vehicle. I've worried about it many times when I've seen other people coming at me too fast and you know, hoping that they would slow down. That's incredibly dangerous if you're going too fast. And I, not to say the Tiger was, I don't know what happens, but you drive those roads a lot too, right?
Oh, every day. I'm on that road on Hawthorne every day, John. And I can attest to what you were saying. You can literally take your foot off the gas and you can reach speeds of 70 miles per hour easily. And if you just glance down at your phone because the roads are winding and you don't pay attention for a second, it is very easy because there are no guardrails to go off the side of the road and down in it, you know, in those hills, in those ditches like he did. I heard you earlier saying that he may have been staying at Terranea, perhaps. I know he was golfing with Dwayne Wade, it looks like yesterday. And it seems like he may have been heading to the airport, John, because as you mentioned, Terranea hugs the Pacific Ocean. Where he had the accident is in the middle of the peninsula. It looks like he was cutting through the peninsula on Hawthorne to perhaps maybe go to the airport or perhaps go somewhere in the city to get to the 405. Because if you go around, Palos Verdes Drive, which is what hugs the Pacific Ocean, which was you're referring to with Terranea, it will take a lot longer. The easiest way, much like you would in the Hollywood Hills, is to cut over the hill, right, to get into the valley. Very yeah. similar here in the Palos Verdes Peninsula.
George, we're having some technical problems. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, and you can hear me too.
All right. Yeah. So, and obviously, we're still all doing radio from home. We did not plan to be on the air until the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, when we normally do Mason and Ireland. We have full shows today. Mason and Ireland at 1 o'clock, Sedano, LZ, and Cap at 4. This will obviously be the biggest story we do all day, and we'll be providing any updates that we get. But anytime, guys, you hear Jaws of Life, you hear that phrase, which is being reported now on SportsCenter, you worry. That means they couldn't extract Tiger out of the car. And again, I want to repeat a couple of things. This is a one-car accident, and as far as we know, no one else was in the car. You know, Tiger has kids now, so that's a relief that nobody else was in the car with him. But when you hear Jaws of Life, that means that not only could Tiger not climb out of the wreckage, but that they couldn't get him out of there without mechanical help. And so when Mark Steinberg says he's undergoing surgery for multiple leg injuries, that makes sense when they had to use the Jaws of Life. And I'm looking, George, I'm looking at pictures of it now. The good news is it's not one of those areas that has a deep drop, a deep cliff drop off. It's more of a
side road.
It's that
ravine.
Right. It's maybe, I'm speculating because I'm looking at video pictures, but it's maybe 5-6 feet lower than the road, which is good.
When you guys cut out earlier, I was telling you that you drive down Hawthorne or Crenshaw, as a matter of fact. If you go, because both of them cut completely through the peninsula, well, particularly Hawthorne does, and you can take Hawthorne from Terranea on one side right up against the Pacific Ocean and go over the hill of the peninsula to get into Torrance to head towards the 405 or head towards LAX if you want to get to PCH or whatever. When you're at the peak of Hawthorne, which is where he was, and heading down, you can reach speeds, as I mentioned earlier, of 60, 70 miles per hour easily. And as the road winds, to your point, yes, the drop-off is somewhere, depends on where you are on the peninsula. Yeah, it could be about 5-6, up to maybe 10 feet deep. It could be less than that, depending on the area. But at least from the pictures that I've seen, and knowing the area, it looks like it is a ditch in that kind of 5 to 10 foot range.
You know, if you study golf, and you know, I'm obviously a huge golf guy. The list of greatest golfers of all time is very short. There may be 5 names on it. One of the names that would be on it along with Tiger is Ben Hogan. And Ben Hogan was involved in a very serious accident similar to this one in his playing days as well. And people, you know, there are some people that argue he was never the same after it, but let's worry about that when we hear more about the injuries. It's just kind of ironic that, you know, there's only that list is Nicklaus, Palmer, Woods, Hogan, Snead. That's it. That's the list. And now Tiger is, you know, and of course, Mace, he has a unfortunately, a history of this. He was involved in a pretty serious car accident in Florida, which was heavily covered in the Tiger documentary on HBO, which we were just talking about yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, the Tiger documentary, which was just a massive two-part documentary that was all about Tiger's life, was followed him from a little kid to just about now. And the number of injuries that he's experienced over his career, the number of surgeries he's experienced over the years, has been remarkable that he was able to go out and win the Masters after all of that and after coming through all of that.
Well, the other thing is, and, you know, right now our number one concern is that he is going to come out of this safely. There's been no update since he went into surgery. So, and I would imagine, you know, Mark Steinberg, Tiger is notoriously, you know, he has a yacht, Mace, and the name of the yacht is Privacy.
Yeah.
Tiger is incredibly private. He doesn't put a lot of stuff out. But, you know, one of the questions that's going to be asked here is in the documentary, one of the reasons he got into an accident that day is that he was on pain medication.
Yes.
And he's obviously dealing with a back surgery this time. And I'm hoping, again, I'm a Tiger fan, so I'm hoping that this isn't a repeat of that. But it's one of the questions that's going to be asked is, did that contribute to the crash? Being that he just had back surgery, you mentioned he was talking about it on CBS. Did that lend itself to this situation? Which, you know, obviously I hope not. But that's one of the questions that people will be asking today. It's already happening on social media.
Yeah, one of the questions on people's minds first thing this morning as they learned of this. Because, you know, he made that appearance. And you know, frankly, I think we actually, if we go to the archives here, we played this yesterday. We actually have Tiger Woods on CBS on Sunday. Jorge, if you can follow me here, let me know when you have that. But Tiger Woods spoke to Jim Nantz. Let's go ahead and listen to that.
Everybody wants to know how you're feeling, what you're doing since you've come off your fifth back operation. You feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine. I'm a little bit stiff. I have one more MRI scheduled so that we'll see if the annulus is scarred over finally, and then I can start doing more activities. But still in the gym, still doing the mundane stuff that you have to do for rehab, you know, the little things, and before I can start gravitating towards something a little more.
So as far as golf, what have you done since the surgery? Anything?
I have lengthened my putter.
Okay, right. Starts with that.
You know, I don't have to bend over as far. No, I've gone to the same length as my sand wedge.
So,
because I do a lot of putting drills, you know, blading, hitting the equator with my sandwich, and I figured, well, if I do a lot with that, why don't I just lengthen my putter to the same length? So I did, and it helped.
All right, there you have it. That's what Tiger Woods sounded like on Sunday at Riviera in an interview he did with Jim Nantz. All right, we will have more of this breaking news coming up next for you. Once again, Tiger Woods involved in a one-car accident in Palos Verdes at 7:12 a.m. this morning. It was a rollover accident. He is now in surgery where they are treating multiple leg injuries. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you are just tuning in to Mason and Ireland, we're on early today with breaking news that Tiger Woods has been injured in a car accident, a one-car accident in Rancho Palos Verdes. It happened at 7:12 this morning. It looks like the car rolled over into a ditch. They needed the jaws of life to extract Tiger from the vehicle. He was taken by hospital, by ambulance to a local hospital, and he is in surgery right now after suffering what is being reported, according to his agent, as multiple leg injuries. And that is really the summation of what we know at this moment.
And if you're listening and you're wondering, you know, why we have broken into programming, why we have jumped on this to the degree that we have, it's almost impossible to describe how much Tiger Woods has changed, not just golf, but all of sports.
Yes.
Golf was an almost exclusively white sport. There were a few guys over the years, guys like Lee Elder and Calvin Pete, and you know, that would win a tournament every once in a while. And then came Tiger. And he grew up in Orange County.
Yep.
He learned how to golf at the Joint Forces Training Base in Los Alamitos.
As a little kid, was on the Mike Douglas show, showing off his golf skills with his dad, Earl Woods, which we saw in that documentary.
So you could make the argument that Tiger Woods is the most significant athlete ever to come out of Southern California. Remember that most of our other, you know, the other guy you would compare him to in that regard, ironically, is Jackie Robinson.
Sure.
Who came out of Southern California and changed the world. But Tiger is tied for most wins on the golf tour ever with Sam Snead. He's second in majors to Jack Nicklaus. They're not only is he one of the greatest golfers of all time, they're, you know, you talk about Jackie breaking the color barrier. This would have been Jackie breaking the color barrier, Mace, and winning MVP every year for 15 years in a row.
Right.
That's how dominant Tiger. Well, a couple of examples. Nike had no golf division until Tiger came along. And then they
Phil Knight literally invented it for Tiger Woods. And by the way, when Tiger Woods was still at Stanford, I think, invented it.
Right. And when Tiger was in high school, he played in what was then known as the LA Open. That was the tournament at Riviera we just watched this weekend that Max Homa won. And Max said after he won it that since he was 2 years old, he was on his dad's shoulders. All he wanted to do was see Tiger in person. And Max said a couple of times over the weekend that if Tiger doesn't come along, he probably doesn't take up golf. That's how much it meant to kids like him. The impact that Tiger has had on the sport of golf is immeasurable. But, Mace, the impact he's had on young minorities playing golf is unsurpassed.
Yeah.
There has never been a guy who made golf cool to people that had no... You're an example of this. You detested golf for years. You had no interest until Tiger came
along. Tiger Woods. I will tell you that my grandfather, Eugene Santa Cruz in Altoona, Pennsylvania, was such a huge Tiger Woods fan that he was buried in a red sweater. Absolutely loved Tiger Woods. And, you know, we mentioned... and in the documentary, much of his medical history is shown. And to be precise about the surgery that he underwent in December, he had a microdiscectomy, a procedure to remove a pressurized disc fragment.
By the way, just because I know you had back surgery, yours was more up higher up your back on your neck, right?
Yeah, mine was in his cervical spine. His was in his lumbar spine. And lower back pain is, you know, if you think about the golf swing, the amount that you use your lower back to drive the ball is pretty extraordinary. In fact, we went, we did that event, in Orange County where I, was in a sand trap and took about 15 cracks, at getting the ball out of the sand trap. You and I were together. And it was a joke, funny, ha-ha Mason moment. My back my lower back in particular completely screwed up from that. John, you know, you deal with some serious stretching that you do
every
before
day.
Golf.
Did it today.
Yeah. So you know exactly where that torque comes from. And now you add to this, multiple leg injuries and in surgery right now. And, you know, hopefully he is safe and hopefully he is able to get healthy. But you wonder what the prospects are for someday getting back to the game of golf.
And, you know, for a little more background for people that don't know, Tiger graduated from Western High School in Cyprus in 1994. And then he went to Stanford. And after a while, he moved to Florida, primarily because he was making so much money that it was the tax advantages. He talked about that often were staggering. But when you watch the Tiger documentary that debuted, I believe it was just last month.
Yeah, last month on HBO.
You see that all his formative years were here, were in Southern California. And his high school girlfriend is in that documentary. His elementary school teachers, the first golf pro he has, is in that documentary. By the way, that documentary is now available on HBO Max. If you didn't watch it when it came out, you can learn a ton about Tiger. You and I both had an interesting reaction to it. Many people who like Tiger slammed that documentary, saying it was a hit piece. You and I came out of it being bigger fans of Tiger than before we watched it.
I mean,
he came off as sympathetic.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about this, in fact, yesterday on the show, ironically, that, you know, after seeing him on the Genesis Open at RIV, that one of the reasons I had never been an especially big Tiger Woods fan, but seeing that documentary and knowing the backstory and knowing his history and knowing the challenges he had to overcome, particularly physical challenges related to his back and related to his knee, to be able to see all that, it made for me Tiger Woods to be a much more empathetic figure. It made him very, very human. And so I came away from that documentary actually liking Tiger Woods. And I was just saying yesterday, he's a guy that maybe I never had rooted for in particular before, but became a really big fan because he became human to me. Like, I understood a little bit more about Tiger Woods. So, yeah, it's interesting. And as you said, that documentary is available on HBO Max.
And just to put his golf in perspective, it's a huge deal to anybody who makes the PGA Tour, Mace, to win a major. There's a big argument every year of who's the best player never to win a major. And
right,
if you win a major, that solidifies you as one of the great golfers of all time. Tiger has 15 majors.
Yeah.
15. Only Jack Nicklaus, who has 18, has more than him. So It is a stunning story. If you're just joining us, Tiger Woods is in the hospital undergoing surgery after a single car crash this morning in Rancho Palos Verdes. Ramona Shelburne is at the hospital. She just did a hit for SportsCenter. She's going to join us coming up in the next hour with the latest on his condition. But a stunning story that we will follow, obviously, for the rest of the day and however many days we have to until we get some more information.
Absolutely. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will come back with the official beginning of Mason in Ireland. Again, breaking news coverage here on 710 ESPN is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, home of the 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for locations and coupons. And as John said, we will continue to follow this story as more information becomes available throughout the day. And we will hear from Ramona Shelburne, who is at the hospital sometime in this next hour. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, if you're just tuning in, and we will keep this in mind and keep you updated throughout the day. There's no reason to go anywhere else. The Tiger Woods story is first and foremost today. Tiger Woods this morning involved in a single car accident, a rollover accident in Palos Verdes. He was extracted from the car using the jaws of life, and he was taken to a local hospital, suffering multiple leg injuries, according to his agent, and is in surgery right now.
The latest from ESPN, from SportsCenter, is that A police source has told ESPN that the injuries he suffered in this car crash are not believed to be life-threatening, which was the report I was looking for. You know, who knows what this means for him, you know, in his golf career. But when you hear single car accident and jaws of life,
yeah,
the one thing you want to hear next is not believed to be life-threatening. Ramona Shelburne is at the hospital, and she will join us at some point in this hour to give us the latest on what she knows. And I would imagine, Mace, that because of Tiger's recognizability, Ramona will not be the only reporter at the hospital. There will be a lot of local news stations. I would imagine some network news stations. I was thinking about this. Is it possible that Tiger, at this point, is the most recognized athlete in the world? It would be either Tiger, LeBron, or one of the soccer players like Messi or Ronaldo, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And particularly in the United States, I mean, I was just thinking about that. If you think the name Tiger Woods, his face pops up very, very clearly in your head. And he transcends just sports. Like, I'm guessing that if I mentioned Tiger Woods to my mom, she would immediately, his face would appear in her head. It has been so emblazoned in our minds and, frankly, in our imaginations over the years that in terms of just being identifiable, Tiger Woods can't go anywhere without, and we actually saw this in the documentary, without being Tiger Woods. A private moment really doesn't exist for him.
Strangely, yesterday, and this came out in one of the ESPN reports, he was playing golf with David Spade and Dwayne Wade.
Wow.
Probably shooting something, I would imagine, for some type of TV or movie. But today, and I was told that they were scheduled to play again today, but obviously Tiger never made it there. So we will, anytime this story changes, we will update you. Right now, it hasn't changed. We've told you everything that we know. And obviously, we have people there. And Ramona is standing by at the hospital. And as soon as she gets done doing TV, we'll bring her on right away and find out what she knows. But we'll try and do somewhat of a regular show mixed in with the fact that we're aware how big of a deal this is.
Yes.
We know that Tiger Woods is an international megastar. And again, the sentence I'm going to keep repeating at least once an hour is a police source has told ESPN that the injuries are not believed to be life-threatening. Now, at this point, that's just a source. Ramona's at the hospital gathering more info, but that's what you want to hear. When you hear jaws of life and accident of a rollover, the next thing you want to hear is injuries not believed to be life-threatening, which is what ESPN is reporting.
Yeah, about. And I'm thinking about the person who's just hearing this on the radio and has not seen the images. To describe that car as just smashed is an understatement.
Well, it's totaled, yeah.
It is absolutely totaled. And you can see why the jaws of life were necessary to actually get him out of there.
And a couple of things that I think we should feel fortunate about. You know, he has young children. His young son, Charlie, has been golfing with him a lot. And I think Charlie's 12. Nobody else in the car. So his kid's not in the car. His girlfriend not in the car. No friends in the car. So single car accident involving just Tiger. And now we wait to hear. And it was his agent, Mark Steinberg, his longtime friend, who issued the statement that he's in surgery with serious leg injuries. Ramona Shelburne is at the hospital and joins us now. Ramona, what do you know? Do you know any more than ESPN has reported so far?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just give you the perspective here. I'm almost at the hospital, about 10 minutes away, because it's at Carver, UCLA, so it's a little drive for me. But look, this is, I just know from what we've been hearing from kind of players, golf players who are, you know, they're all talking right now and everybody's worried. And, you know, John, you know what it sounds like? I don't want to be, recording this yet because we want to wait for official word, but it sounds like he's going to be okay as a person. Okay. It doesn't sound life threatening, but it sounds like pretty severe leg injuries, in surgery, obviously. you know, I don't want to go further than that, but I'll say, you know, there's a lot of worry amongst players of, you know, how do you come back from broken legs? You know, I mean, how do you come back from these kind of injuries? And it, you know, if he was pulled out through the windshield with the jaws of life, I mean, that's pretty scary. Right. So,
right.
You know, I think right now we should all be focusing on, let's just, you know, his overall health. Like, you know, this isn't Kobe. Okay. And I drove out to that crash site. We already knew. Okay. And this right now is, you know, he's at a hospital. He survived the accident. You know, it's just a question of, you know, will he play golf again? What kind of life is he going to have after this? You know, my first thought was, oh, my God. It's, you know, he had that. Trust me, I researched this because I just had the same back surgery. It's called a microdiscectomy.
Yeah, I was thinking that. You had that exact surgery. Yeah,
yeah,
and I believe he had it in the lumbar spine, and I think you had it in the lumbar spine.
Yeah, you know, he's had like four, and he's also had a fusion. So he's, you know, his was like, first one was in 2014 or 15. This is another one. I mean, I know the kind of pain associated with it that drives you to have a surgery, okay? The first one, you know, that everybody was talking about, he came back too fast. And, you know, I just listened in on this interview he did with Jim Nance on Sunday, and he's already talking about, will you be at the Masters? And I'm like, what? Like, I mean, I'm like 2.5 weeks out. I think he might be 3 or 4 weeks out. But you're not supposed to do much the first month or two. You know, you're supposed to, you actually feel much better, but you're not supposed to do anything. So, like, I don't know why you would be talking about playing a golf in a couple of weeks or even a month or two. Like, don't rush back. God, you know? I don't know how much he was playing. I know he was on set to do a Golf Digest shoot. I think he was there with, like, you saw the Dwayne Wade video. I heard something that Justin Herbert was there, some other people were, you know, at this set, and he was on his way back there. He's driving himself. I don't know. I'm allowed to drive myself if I want to, but I'm not driving right now. My dad's taking me because
I was going to say that, Ramona. Here
you said 10 minutes.
Yeah. You said don't do much after surgery like this, and then there you are immediately jumping in the car to go and report on this story.
Well, but I'm not driving. I'm sitting in the passenger seat. Yeah. It's, you know, if it was 10 minutes away, maybe, but I feel like I'm going to be standing all day and outside a hospital waiting for some word of how he's doing, and it's an hour drive each way. No way. I'm not driving that far, you know. I don't want to get stuck. I haven't even driven since. I'm not on any painkillers anymore. I mean, I don't even take – I take an Advil or Tylenol if I need it, but I don't have any pain. So, that shouldn't be by that stage in the recovery. But again, everybody's experience with it is different, you know. And Tiger's on surgery 4 or 5. So he's also had other leg injuries and, you know, knee injuries and lots of other things that he's had to deal with. So,
hey, Ramona,
go ahead.
Yeah, we were talking earlier. Is it possible that Tiger is the most significant and famous athlete ever to come out of Southern California? Keep in mind that our other Los Angeles stars, Sandy Koufax was from back east, Kobe was from Philly, Kareem was from New York. Jackie Robinson would be the other one that comes to mind.
That's the first one I was going to say, Jackie Robinson, yeah.
Yeah,
but they're similar, right?
Right.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
They broke a lot of barriers, you know. I mean, they, you know, I just got done watching part one of the Tiger doc, you know. I mean, the Tiger on HBO. I know there's another part to it. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah,
but
part two is vastly different, you know, than part one.
Yeah. But it does put his career into perspective, Ramona. And, you know, not being a golf fan, not being a golf authority, not being a golf expert, I learned an awful lot about his career, you know, whether it be from the time he was on Mike Douglas as a little kid, and everybody's seen that clip right now, where he was just on a mission from a very young age to winning the U.S. Amateur multiple times. John, how many times did he win the U.S. Amateur?
Three. And
three times.
Only one other guy. I mean, he's most records in golf he owns. You know, the ones he doesn't own is Nicklaus. Sam Snead and Tiger have both won 82 career PGA events. They're tied. So the next one Tiger won was going to break that record. And as Ramona points out, we don't know what this means for him as a golfer. You know, hopefully we've seen some extraordinary, you don't want to speculate. We've seen some extraordinary comeback stories. The one that popped into my head this morning was Alex Smith, the quarterback of the Washington football team. had come back from some leg injuries that people told him he would never be able to return from. So you don't want to rule out anything regardless.
Yeah, I mean, I would never count Tiger out of anything. I mean, he played, he won the U.S. Open down at
Torrey Pines.
Torrey Pines on basically one knee. An incredible part of that documentary is him somehow finding a way to win that tournament despite playing through a lot of pain. That was a knee, right, John?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And had surgery, you know, right after it. But nobody could understand how, if you play golf, your lower body is incredibly important. You know, the rotation you get out of your hips, the way you rotate your body, it's the whole ball game. And so, again, let's wait and hear what we've got here. And we should know more later. Ramon, I was just saying to Mace, I would imagine you're not going to be the only reporter at the hospital, likely, huh?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think there's, you know, in these things, it's there's a crash. You go to the crash site, you go to the hospital, you go to, you know, I don't know. I think I have an idea of where he was staying last night. You kind of call around. I'm mostly just kind of calling people I know in the golf world and people I know down in this area, in Rancho Palos Verdes area, right? Just kind of. It's just, the golf world is talking about this right now, right? Players and it's, you know, everybody's really, really scared, right? Like we may, you know, who knows what if he can come back from this. You know, Mark, I was talking to Mark Schlabaugh, my colleague at ESPN. He goes, look, hey, Bobby Jones came back from two broken legs. You know, I think he was younger than Tiger. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility, okay? You know, Mace, you've had a neck surgery. Having this lumbar spine surgery, like I'm really careful. Like, you know, let me describe for you what you're supposed to do. Okay, you're not supposed to bend, lift, or twist. If you drop something on the ground, I got a little grabber. I'm supposed to use that to pick it up off the ground, even though I feel good. A couple of times I have squatted to get something that was lower. You know, you know, a couple of times, right? But I think it's you're just supposed to let it heal and scar over because there's nothing holding the disc in place. So the idea is, you know, let it heal, scar over, you know, make sure that it's going to hold. And then when you're allowed to do your PT and your rehab after 6 weeks, you know, that's when you go and you really start slow and you build up and you build your core strength and all that. You know, so we're talking about a back injury. I just, you know, he's talking about playing in the Masters. I'm like, oh.
Well, you know, the other thing is,
man, you know,
we also think, Ramona, you know, we think of Tiger Woods as a golfer. Tiger Woods is also a father.
And
I was just, you know, he's a father first. And that actually comes through in that documentary.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the fact that you see his son at some of his tournaments, who's a young golfer himself starting out. I mean, he's a dad. And, you know, before he's a golfer, he's a father.
By the way, a lot
you know,
of people.
Look, he said in this interview with Jim Nantz, by the way, guys, he goes, you know, I only got one back. You know, that's all I keep thinking about. Man, you only got one back. You got, you know, all I'm thinking is, I hope he's okay. I think it sounds like it's not life threatening. It sounds like it's just going to be a tough rehab from these leg injuries. I'm actually pulling up to the hospital here in a second. I figure out where to park. So I might have to go in a sec. But, But yeah, it sounds like, you know, this is all I need to know. It's not life threatening. Thank God. Let's say that right now. Okay?
Yeah, that's the one we've got to keep repeating.
Let's hope it's not career threatening. Let's hope that this is a long process here. But maybe we'll see him back out there in some other way. But let's hope he just has get back to his life as a dad and a person and all that.
All right. Hey, listen, Ramona. Thank you very much. Keep us up to date. Okay.
You got it. Thanks,
there's
guys.
Ramona
all right,
Shelburne.
I'll call you when I get some more.
All right, thanks,
she's going to be at the hospital for us today and keeping us up to date. So the moment there is additional information, we will have it for you. So we will keep this first and foremost on the show today, but we're going to start talking about some other stuff, including the Lakers, who have now lost 3 in a row and 4 out of 5. They lose last night in an overtime thriller to the Washington Wizards at Staples Center. We'll get into that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And you heard just minutes ago, Ramona Shelburne, our ace ESPN reporter, is at the hospital. And the moment we know anything about the status of Tiger Woods, who is reportedly in surgery right now, we will have that information for you instantaneously.
And when I mentioned that, you know, you could make the argument that Tiger is the greatest athlete ever to come out of Southern California, a lot of people been reminding me of other names. I just heard from the Hall of Famer, Ann Myers, who reminded me that Billie Jean King came out of Long Beach.
Sure. Serena Williams. I've gotten a bunch of tweets about Serena and Venus.
Both Serena and Venus. Don Drysdale, Ann's former husband, who passed away way too young. Don came out of L.A.
Yeah.
So there's a lot. But Tiger would be in that conversation for sure. And we will monitor this from the beginning. So did you watch the Lakers game last night?
I did watch the Lakers game. I was on
did
the edge of my
tell
seat.
You – on yesterday's show that game was a coin flip.
But here's my issue, John. If Washington is a coin flip, and I understand they've been playing better and they're on a five-game winning streak now and they've been better. They were 2-16 without Westbrook and now he's back and they're much better and all that stuff. But they're still a 10-17 team. And if they have to go down to the wire with teams like Washington, who exactly are the beatable teams for an Anthony Davis-less Lakers team?
There may not be any. I'm sure they'll win some games and lose some games. Like tomorrow night.
Is this a 500 basketball team? Tomorrow night, I would throw in the towel now.
So would you consider telling LeBron to stay home?
You know, it's a fair question. And it's something that we will we'll be talking about throughout the day today.
I don't think he would do it, by the way. I think you know, Rob Pelinka talks a lot about how he looks at star players. Guys like LeBron and AD as a partnership.
Sure.
And so
I don't think LeBron would do it. That's the issue.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, LeBron has played the third most minutes in the league this year. The third most minutes in the league. Only Julius Randle and Fred VanVleet have played more. Now, the difference between Julius Randle and VanVleet and LeBron James is that he's 36. He's 36 years old. And it is a grind, and it is going to come a point in June and July. And by the way, last night in the fourth quarter, LeBron hit the side of the backboard twice. I heard Jalen Rose talk about this today. He said that is flat out fatigue. That is flat out fatigue. LeBron was not himself.
By the way, I did that whole game and don't remember him hitting the side of the backboard.
Yeah, I'm going. This is Jalen. Apparently, Jalen Rose, he hit the side of the backboard and it went out of bounds on two separate occasions.
Yeah, didn't.
According to Jalen.
Yeah, don't remember that. I'll trust my own memories versus somebody who is in Bristol. But he is playing a lot of minutes and he did at times look tired. But here's the thing. LeBron is the best conditioned athlete in the league.
Sure.
He
is.
And so minutes to him don't mean the same as minutes to guys like Julius Randle and Fred VanVleet. He's just in better shape than those guys.
But it's undeniable, though, John. And I'm going to concede, and I completely agree, best conditioned athlete in the league. But there is age and there is mileage, and those things do tend to catch up with you. And I think if the Lakers were smart right now, they would find time. I think he played 42 minutes last night. He only sat out 1 minute in the fourth quarter and played all of overtime. If the Lakers were smart right now, they would convince LeBron that this is a good time for a blow. This is a good time to take a break. And the other thing Jalen Rose said, and I think this is interesting, is that there's a big push amongst NBA players to extend that All-Star break instead of the fifth through the 10th to make it the 5th through the 14th. And apparently the players' union is actively in this conversation to buy players a couple of extra days at the All-Star break this year. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but apparently Woj reported it, and Jalen followed up on it today.
Well, there's a reason why the second half of the schedule hasn't come out yet. I'm hearing, and they mentioned on Spectrum last night, that it may come out tomorrow. That's how close they are to releasing it. But maybe that's one of the reasons why it hasn't been released yet, is that they're arguing over when they actually want to come back after the All-Star game. But I think we're going to get let's put it this way. I'd be shocked if we don't have the rest of the schedule by the end of this week.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to get it tomorrow.
Here is LeBron James last night. Again, talking about LeBron James and the concept of finding time to rest in the middle of all this, this big push that he's in right now without Anthony Davis. Here is LeBron James last night on the narrative that he needs rest.
I've never talked about it. I don't talk about it. I don't believe in it. You know, we all need more rest. I mean, this is a fast turnaround from last season. And we all wish we can have more rest. But, you know, I'm here to work, and I'm here to punch my clock in and be available to my teammates. And if I'm hurt or if I'm not feeling well, then we can look at it then. But I have nothing but honest people around me, but I'm also honest with myself as well. And, you know, me having the love for the game and me being able to be available to my teammates is more important than anything.
And here's LeBron on not pushing himself.
I'm not pushing myself. I wouldn't say that. I mean, I'm going on and I'm playing the game. I mean, I'm doing my job. I'm trying to do it at a high level. But that's been a narrative around the league. I've never asked for time off or you know, time throughout the season. You know, and it's grown to a point where, you know, it's not even coming from me anymore. It's just like, okay, well, what LeBron should take time off, or, you know, why is his workload at this? You know, I've been hearing it for 5, 6, 7 years now. And I'm still, you know, going strong. So I don't need a handout. I'm not looking for a handout. I mean, my job is to go out when I'm available, when I'm healthy, to go out and play. And, you know, that's what it's all about.
Hey, this is a very interesting thing, because you're arguing that someone on the Lakers should convince him that now,
yes,
would be a good time to take some time off.
Yep.
And he's arguing that he doesn't need it. And statistically, he's probably the leading candidate to win MVP.
Sure he is.
So just because you think he needs time off, and I'm not making this about you, just others think he needs time off, doesn't necessarily mean that he does. You and I talk about all the time how you absolutely need time off or you go
Correct.
Crazy. I don't take time off.
But see, that's the difference.
So why can't LeBron be like me?
I choose time off.
But why can't LeBron be like me? Why can't he be a guy that doesn't need it?
I think you wear down at certain points of the year.
Right, but I'm not. But I'm just saying LeBron doesn't.
Right. Well, we don't know that. I mean, he's 36 years old, John. I don't think he should be. And you bragged earlier in the year about LeBron James, you know, averaging just about 31 minutes a game, and said, see, they're able to balance his minutes.
Yeah, well, but
they're
now they play
able
every game.
To, they're not
every game
able
is
to,
an overtime game.
They're not able to balance his minutes anymore.
Right.
It's out of control. He's played the third most minutes in the league. I don't think that's in anybody's ideal scenario.
Well, ideal, no. But is it a problem? Not necessarily. I mean,
when Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel sat down and talked about this season at some point, the idea was, let's keep LeBron's minutes as low as we possibly can. Now with no Anthony Davis, in order to compete in games, and last night, without LeBron James, Washington wins that thing, I think, going away.
Oh, no question.
They win
as a matter of fact, okay, so with about 7:45 to go.
Yep.
They took LeBron out, and Michael said during the broadcast, okay, so they're going to try and buy him 2-3 minutes of clock time. Look for him to come back in about the 5-minute mark. Washington went on a quick 6 or 8-0 run, and LeBron was back in 1 minute of clock time.
Yeah.
And so they need him to win games. He doesn't believe in minute limits. Everything about his career has indicated that he can handle the load. He's in freakish athletic shape.
Sure.
Just because everybody else, and this is the argument you're making today.
Correct.
And I think Brad Turner's going to join us here. We can get Brad's thoughts on this. I think just because others say he needs a rest doesn't necessarily make it so.
Right. But if your bosses think, and I, again, I don't know the thinking of Frank Vogel. Actually, we'll hear from, why don't we do that right now? Here is Frank Vogel on lightening LeBron's load.
Yeah, we gotta continue to look for the right balance. You know, they have two elite scorers down the other end. You know, that had us with the lineup out there that we can make sure we can get enough stops to try to win. You know, some guys stepped up to hit big shots. You know, with I think Kenny and Alex both hit threes towards the end of the fourth there, and you know, we got to continue to find ways to lighten his load.
Got to find ways to lighten his load.
Right, but I think
what obviously that's in Frank Vogel's head.
Right, but I think what he's talking about is maybe not play him as much in the second and third quarter so he's fresh for the fourth.
But they're not going to win games. I mean, without LeBron James in the second and third quarter, where is this
team? I'm glad you brought that up. How important is it that they do win games? Do you agree with me that if they get in, regardless of seed, they're the favorite as long as they're healthy?
Yes, I do.
So, if that's the case, maybe you sit LeBron 3-4 more minutes if you
even if it
behind,
means losing a game.
It's something to think about. Now, I don't think LeBron's going to go for that. He's too competitive.
No, I don't, that's the thing. The player doesn't necessarily always know the best thing for himself. I mean, I think LeBron wants to be out there. He'd play as many minutes as he possibly could. That's LeBron. That's the LeBron thing. That's what he does. But as I look at these games coming up, the idea of not having LeBron for some of these games, you know, LeBron against the Jazz, you're going to need a full dose of LeBron. Portland, you're going to need a lot of LeBron. Phoenix, one of the hottest teams in the league, you're going to need a lot of LeBron. I mean, these are three of the last five games they've got before the All-Star break. And I don't think they win them without LeBron, and they may not win them with LeBron. So in a world where you may not win these games with LeBron, why have him expend that energy?
I think because, well, I'll give you an example. Wilt Chamberlain once averaged more than 48 minutes a game for a season. That meant he played every minute of every game and then three or four overtimes. So he averaged like 48.2
right.
minutes per season. Nobody ever said anything about him coming out. This
yeah, but I mean, it's a different
modern
era. It's a different age. You can't compare that era to today's era.
Well, I can't compare LeBron to Wilt?
No, minutes. No, you can't because
why?
It was a different era of basketball. But players.
LeBron's a once in a generation athlete.
Well,
these are good questions to throw at Brad Turner. By the way,
yeah.
Brad, who's coming up next, is reporting that the Lakers are unlikely to reunite with DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, we'll get into that coming up. And again, if you're just tuning in, this morning at 7:12 a.m. in Palos Verdes, Tiger Woods was involved in a one-car accident, a rollover accident. He was extracted from the vehicle with the jaws of life. And to the best of our knowledge, and again, there's been no further reporting on this, to the best of our knowledge, he is in surgery at a local hospital right now. With injuries to both of his legs. So we will continue to keep you updated on that story throughout the day. The moment we know anything, we will make sure you get it. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, continuing to follow the Tiger Woods story with all of you. He is in the hospital undergoing surgery right now. And if you have not seen, if you're just listening to the radio and you've not seen the images, that car is totaled. It is smashed, and it is amazing, frankly, looking at it, that Tiger Woods was able to survive a single car rollover accident this morning in Palos Verdes.
And Ramona, among other people, is at the hospital, and we will update anything we get in regards to Tiger Woods.
So we're talking about Lakers, too, and I think we're expecting to make a connection here with Brad Turner from the LA Times. One of the things Brad has reported is that the Lakers, despite waiving Quinn Cook last night after the game, they are not going to make a run at DeMarcus Cousins.
And Brad Turner joins us now from the LA Times. Brad, thank you for doing this. Why do you think that's the case, Brad, that the Lakers would not welcome a reunion with Boogie?
Well, the question would be is, why would they want him back? Right? Well, he didn't really play for them last year. He was injured.
Right.
I don't think he provides the Lakers with anything more than what they really already have. Marc Gasol, obviously his offense has been down, but he's a three-point shooter, plays on the perimeter. DeMarcus Cousins has now become a perimeter player. What the Lakers really need, and you and I all know this, is a rim protector.
Yeah.
And someone who can roll to the basket and dunk the basketball, and that is not what DeMarcus Cousins does at his best.
Yeah, they're giving up a ton of points in the paint, as you point out, Brad. They gave up 66 points in the paint. Granted, it was an overtime game, but 66 points in the paint last night to Washington. What they do need, and I've been talking about this, need a rebounder, need a physical defender, need rim protection, and need that front court depth. One of the names that's floating out, around out there is Hassan Whiteside with Sacramento. Now, does he make sense for the Lakers?
At this stage, he does, but he can only be gotten two ways, actually. First, you have to try to trade for him, and that might not be something the Lakers are willing to do, to give up an asset or even a pick. The next thing is, will Whiteside get a buyout? And would he then be willing to come and play for the Lakers? I don't see why he would not, if that was to be the case. But he is someone that can give you some good, but you also got to deal with some of the bad stuff that you with him. You know, he can be a little difficult to manage at times. But I would guess if he did come to the Lakers, and that's just an if you're playing for the Lakers and LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you would be on your best behavior.
Brad Turner from the LA Times, nice enough to join us. Brad, Mason and I were just talking about this LeBron minutes and that everybody outside the team seems to be extremely worried that LeBron is playing too many minutes. But what I was explaining to Mason is I don't think LeBron's worried about it. I think that, you know, he conditions himself to play every minute of every game if he needed to. And I think to him, it's just noise. Like Mace suggested, maybe he doesn't go to Utah. This would be a good time for him to take a blow because they may not be able to beat Utah without AD. And I just don't think LeBron would ever do it. What do you think about the argument that LeBron is playing too many minutes?
And, man, look, the man told us last night after the game was over, that's been a narrative for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years. And he continues to play minutes. He continues to put up numbers. He's averaging with almost 25 points a game, about 8 rebounds, 8 assists. You know, sure, you want to look at the long run, the playoffs, and hopefully he has a full amount of energy left for that. But if he wants to play, who is going to tell LeBron James you can't play? Let's just start there. Is it Frank Vogel? Is it Anthony Davis? Is it Mason? Is it Ireland? Is it me? I mean, who's going to tell him that you can't play? You can't go out here and do what you've been paid to do and what fans want to see you do, even if it's just on TV. I just don't see him backing down on that. Maybe you try to decrease the minutes, but when he's off the floor, the Lakers are just not very good.
Yeah.
And they're missing two starters. So in order to have a chance to just win a game, just to have a chance, you need him out there.
Brad Turner's with us from the LA Times. My point here, Brad, is that as of this moment, LeBron James has played the third most minutes in the league. Only Julius Randle and Fred VanVleet have played more minutes. And coming into this year, we heard people in the organization, whether it be Frank Vogel or Rob Pelinka, talked about managing his minute, making sure he stays fresh. It was a 71-day off season. He played all the way through the NBA Finals, 71 days off. Now he's back into it. Now he's playing the third most minutes in the league this year. It seems, and I agree with you, I don't think LeBron wants to talk about it. I don't think he wants it to be part of his narrative. Everybody is talking about it, though, because there are laws of nature, and this could could mean that once we get to June and July, we're going to see a something less than fresh LeBron James.
That is very true, but we don't know that. That's the thing. At some point, yes, LeBron James won't be the LeBron James that we've all known and loved, or even hated over the years. But I'll just go back to this again. LeBron prepares himself to play a lot of minutes. He's told us that. He's shown that. He's proven that. And he's not willing to back down. How about this? You want a mad LeBron James upset with you because you say he can't play? He might just check himself back into the game if you try to hold him out, if they have a chance to win. I want LeBron James to be healthy. I want to see LeBron James playing at his best, at his peak. Yes, I do think they can, perhaps they can cut back on minutes some, but if you're saying he's going to play, let the man play.
Brad Turner from the LA Times is our guest. Brad, my level of concern about the Lakers is pretty much close to zero. I think that, you know, there are a lot of Laker fans that are mad, they're upset, they're calling us, they're tweeting us, they're saying, you know, Lakers have lost three games in a row, they're not protecting the paint, they're turning it over too much, blah, 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 blah. Brad, my argument would be these aren't the Lakers. These aren't the Lakers that we know we're going to have when the season is on the line. If Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder played in all these games, they wouldn't have lost 4 out of 5. This is a different group. Am I underrating the problems the Lakers are having, or do you agree with me?
Well, J.I., you and I covered the Lakers back in the real glory days, with Kobe and Shaq. So we've seen this. We knew Kobe was the guy, like LeBron James, who wanted to play all the time, was in tip-top shape, and wanted to give you everything he had all 82 games. That's LeBron James. Shaq, yeah, he kind of worked his way through the season, dealt with injuries. I want to put AD all the way in that boot with Shaquille, but AD, I don't know if he's given us everything he can possibly give. I think there's something left, and obviously he's hurt now. So once the playoffs get here, I think things will change. Should there be some concern? Yeah, there should be some. But am I worried about the Lakers? I'm not you, J.I. I am not worried about them in the least little bit.
Yeah. I guess, Brad, and this is what we hear from fans. And by the way, we'll take some calls, 877-710-ESPN. What we hear from fans is that one of the things, I mean, let's face it, one of the things coming into this season was the Lakers have so much depth. It was the much vaunted depth, and it didn't matter what happened with this team. They were so deep, it wasn't going to be an issue. Now we find out that if Anthony Davis is not healthy, this team isn't even close to an NBA title contender.
Oh, no, not at all. But let's just take Kawhi Leonard off of the Clippers. Are they a contender? Now, Brooklyn, they still got two great stars on their team when KD's out. They still have James Harden and Kyrie Irving. The Lakers need AD to have a chance to win the title. The Lakers also need Dennis Schroeder to have a chance. What we're starting to see is, as much depth as the Lakers have, they still are the total sum of all their parts, which is what makes them great. So if you have a big piece missing in AD, this is what you see. Then you go from AD to losing Dennis, Lakers have a hard time scoring the basketball. They only have one creator left on that team, and that's LeBron James. Their defense has still been pretty good, but their offensive efficiency has just been bad. That has to improve. Guys have to be smarter, have to understand the game plan better and execute it better to get themselves a chance to win. They can't make a lot of mistakes. And they made 4 too many, including LeBron James, who had 8 turnovers last night.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, Brad, about how Schroeder creates. And AD is the most underrated player in the league, I believe, now, when you look at the way the Lakers have played since he went out.
Oh, I don't know what that's for now, Jay. He ain't underrated now. People rate him pretty high. Come on
right
now.
But look what happens, Brad, as soon as he's out. You know, as soon as he's out,
it falls apart.
Yes, their paint defense is gone.
It does. Well, they've also lost 2 big defenders down there, JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard.
That's right.
Their faults, they're being of physicality and their ability. If they didn't block shots, they at least had you thinking about going down the lane.
Right.
All right. Hey, listen, Brad, thank you very much for coming on. We appreciate it, as always, man.
My pleasure, guys.
Talk to you
later. All right, we'll work in some phone calls next. 877-710-ESPN. Are you worried? Are you panicked? Is this what you expected to see without AD? What addition do the Lakers need to make? Who do they need to get? Do they need to make an addition at all? 877-710-ESPN. We'll dig into some of that. Plus, John, I do have word of a pill that could change everybody's life.
Really?
Yes.
Can you get them?
Not yet.
Okay.
But they may be coming. And, of course, we're following the breaking story of the day, which is Tiger Woods injured in a single car rollover accident in Palos Verdes. He was taken to the hospital after being extracted with the jaws of life. He is in surgery now. He suffered multiple injuries to both injuries to both legs, and that's why he's in surgery right now. So the moment we know something, we will absolutely bring it to you instantaneously. Also at 3 o'clock, we'll hear from the Sheriff's Department on all details associated with the accident. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. And we continue to follow the Tiger Woods story for you. The moment we have additional information, we will bring it to you. We're going to get some of your phone calls in. We're talking Lakers with Brad Turner. Concerns about LeBron's minutes. He's played the third most minutes of any player in the NBA. He's doing that at age 36. The Lakers have lost three in a row and four out of five. John, I wanted to dump this in here because I think it has ramifications for all of life.
Okay.
Dr. Webster Santos, who's a professor of chemistry at Virginia Tech, thinks he may have discovered the cure for obesity. He discovered a mitochondrial uncoupler named BAM15 that was successfully decreased the body fat of mice even when eating a high calorie diet. Now, if you think about this, 40% of Americans are classified as obese.
Oh, it's but that your number's low.
And I have been in this category multiple times in my life.
Yeah, I think
how would the world change if there was a pill that could actually make you thin?
Well, we'd have to figure out whether or not, like, I think what you're suggesting is I could eat whatever I wanted.
Yes.
And not get fat.
And not get fat.
Okay, so, but would that affect my heart?
That's an interesting question. I actually thought about that. Would it still affect things like your cholesterol and your
heart? If I had Twinkies every night for dinner.
You wouldn't gain weight, but you might build up cholesterol in your system. Yeah, that's a really good point.
So I
guess, imagine, John.
But too much of anything will kill you, you know.
Sure. See, I think it would make it hard on thin people. This is the way I viewed it. Hard on thin people. Because, you know, thin people have got an advantage in the world. I've never been... My grandmother used to pinch my belly and say, "Oh, don't worry, you'll never be thin." that was like a normal practice, even when I felt I was relatively thin. But thin people have got an advantage in life. What if that advantage goes away because of this pill? What if everybody is thin all of a sudden? Thin people no longer have an advantage over the rest of us.
That's true. You know, somebody made an observation last week when I was golfing, and they said one thing that the mask has done is it's kind of taken away the advantage really good-looking people have.
Good point.
You know, like, you know, really good-looking people, when they walk around, they can pretty much get whatever they want. But
the mask is the great
equalizer.
The mask
is kind of like, it kind of like takes that advantage away, at least temporarily. So maybe the pill would do the same thing.
Yeah, it would. It's fascinating to think. I don't know what else you do about obesity in this country. We are just the fattest country in the world.
Patrick on line one wants to talk about the Lakers. Hey, Patrick, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Love you guys.
Sure.
I was just going to point out that I think the Lakers are going in the opposite direction with LeBron's playing time. I think it's a perfect opportunity for them to, like, even go away some of his minutes that he was playing in the beginning of the year, like maybe even down to 25 to 28 minutes. And that'll result in two things. Like, number one, the bench players and the role players will bring up their confidence. But look what happened when LeBron was out with the groin injury. We discovered Alex Caruso.
Right, but we also missed the playoffs. Well, yeah,
but I mean, I don't think we could do that at this point because eventually AD will be back, and of course Schroeder will be back. You know, so
it would be tough to miss the playoffs. But does it bother you? Let's say we accept your premise, and they're going to play LeBron 25 to 28 minutes. Do you think we would have been in that game last night?
No way. And we would have to lose a game more here and there. But you know what? The role players, we're going to learn. We can do a great job. We are professionals. You know, they'll be playing on a higher level, I think.
Right.
LeBron isn't always there to take the ball.
But, Patrick, last night, whenever LeBron came out of the game, the Wizards would go on a run.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly.
As long as you don't mind losing games, then you could get LeBron's minutes down to 25, 28 minutes. The problem is, LeBron's too competitive, Frank Vogel's too competitive, and the West is pretty loaded. So you would need to, if you're willing, like Mace kicked around the idea, don't take LeBron to Utah. Just give him a 2-3 day break because it's going to be really hard to win that game. I don't think LeBron would ever go for it. I don't think Vogel would ever go for it. But even if you did it, even if you accept Mason's premise and you did it, there's no guarantee that that's going to improve LeBron's, you know, by giving LeBron a break, that's going to make any difference. He thinks
any break helps. Any break helps.
Not according to him.
John, is every player always the best decider of what is good for them and what is healthy for them and what is best for a team?
Well, I understand
LeBron he's got the cachet, he's got the weight, he will determine whether he plays or not, how much he plays. I think he is the full decider on that. But I don't know that that's necessarily the best thing for him or for the team.
Well, it's worked pretty well for him in his career. Thank you, Patrick, for the call. Here's Robert on line three. Hey, Robert, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys, I'm such a huge fan. I was just thinking, I believe it was 25 years ago this year, I first listened to The Big Show on 96.90 San Diego. I love you guys.
25 years. Thank you very much for being out there all this time, man.
Love you guys. Now, regarding the Lakers, I think what I'm needing to worry about, I think that people are overreacting because it's obvious that it's not going to be as easy as we thought to repeat. I still believe very strongly that it'll be a rematch against the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals in the gloriously Houston Rocket-less playoffs. I'm very excited about that, but I think the Lakers go back and do it again.
I do, too, and I think that people are forgetting the Lakers lost 4 games in a row last year. And they went on to win the title.
In this little stretch, I mean, once we get to June and July, nobody is going to remember that they lost 4 out of 5 or they lost 3 in a row.
But Mace, I'm serious. They lost 4 games in a row last year.
Yeah.
And it meant nothing. By the end of the year, nobody even took them to 7 games. If we get our people back, if Schroeder and AD come
back healthy.
And by
the way, Schroeder comes back on Friday, and he's going to make an enormous difference instantaneously.
It's not automatic he comes back Friday. They're targeting Friday.
Okay.
But, I think that he will make a big difference. And by the way, this stretch of the schedule, I mean, Utah's really good. Portland already beat the Lakers at Staples, and that was with AD. And then Golden State already beat the Lakers at Staples, and that was with AD.
And the Suns are really good.
And the Suns are, I think, a game behind the Lakers now. I think they've won like 8 out of 9. This schedule's really hard, and don't overreact to these losses if they lose because they don't have their team. These aren't the Lakers.
877-710-ESPN. We'll continue to work in some of your calls. Also, let's do the normal stuff today. Again, we are keeping track of everything related to the Tiger Woods accident this morning. At about 7:15, Tiger Woods was involved in a one-car rollover accident in Palos Verdes. The injuries are not believed to be life-threatening, multiple sources have reported, which is great news. He was extracted from the car via the jaws of life and is in the hospital now undergoing surgery. He has injuries to both of his legs. And Mark Steinberg, his agent, says, we thank you for your privacy and support. So the moment we know anything additional about Tiger Woods, we will bring that to you. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.